she is our next presenter. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's nice to be here. I think your talk was very interesting, both the previous speakers and certainly the one on the water. It seems like that's the whole focus of the APHA conference next year, so maybe you'll have more results to report next year. Yes. So now we're going to change gear somewhat. I'm going to talk about governance in sub-Saharan Africa and the effect that this might have on health outcomes. And whenever I start speaking, and I say that I'm from the University of Kentucky, people look at me and they say, you don't sound like you come from the University of Kentucky. So then I have to accept, well, no, I'm actually an African. And they look at me and they say, well, you don't look like an African. But both of those things are true. As you said, I was born in Zimbabwe, but now I'm living in America and grateful for the opportunity to be here. So, I have no disclosures to make at this time. What I'm going to talk about was primarily motivated by a report that I read from the World Health Organization looking at the effects of health and economic development. And they said that ill health contributes significantly to poverty and low economic growth. And in addition, there are just a few health conditions that if we address those few, we would be able to make some substantial changes and reduce ill health and premature deaths. And also that there are many cost-effective interventions for these health conditions that can be applied and that these would end up saving millions of lives every year. And right now, the current level of spending on health in many of the member states of the World Health Organization, and particularly in Africa, is not adequate to ensure the safety and the health of the community. So this is quite a busy slide, but it's just showing you that some of the conditions that kill millions and millions of people in Africa every year are conditions that are not killing millions and millions of people in the developed world, and these conditions are very cheap to deal with. So, for example, diarrheal deaths cause 2 million deaths per year, and the cure would be about 10 cents per dose. Pertussis, polio, diphtheria, tetanus, and measles, also 2 million deaths per year, and the cost for that is $15 for full immunization per child. Bacterial pneumonia is responsible for about 3 million deaths, and the treatment for that is 25 cents per treatment. There's intestinal parasites, which are responsible for upsetting about 170 to 400 million people per year, and the treatment for that is only 20 cents per person. And then iodine deficiency, which causes mental retardation, there's about 120,000 people infected annually for that, and the cost is only about 5 cents per person. And then for vitamin A, which causes blindness if there's inadequate vitamin A in the diet, that causes 8 million deaths and about 500,000 people infected annually, and the cost to do something about that is only 4 cents per person. So this is just to illustrate that fairly simple mechanisms exist, but somehow the people in Africa are not receiving those. So what I did was I looked at disability-adjusted life years, and disability-adjusted life years are the sum of years lost due to premature mortality and the years of life due to disability. So these statistics that I have up here, for all causes, there's, on average in sub-Saharan Africa, about 7,939,000 deaths per year. And these are not adjusted for the country size. So the minimum disability-adjusted life years are mostly for the Seychelles, and the largest, the maximums, are for Nigeria, except in the case of HIV/AIDS. And the large number of deaths there is, unfortunately, in South Africa, which is where I come from. So just to be clear, the disability-adjusted life years is equivalent to the loss of one full year of health. And in Africa, it's about 7 times higher than in the developed world. So So the purpose of the study that I did was to determine how a number of factors affect disability-adjusted life years. And I looked at things like governance factors, health financing and provider variables, health risk factors, and cultural variables. And I'll go over these individually. So just before I start, my population was the 45 sub-Saharan countries, and I had to exclude three, Sudan, Djibouti, and Somalia, because there wasn't enough information about those countries. So I was looking at the whole of Africa apart from those three countries. And what I did is I used multiple linear regression, and I put all of these factors into a model. And the data sources that I used were publicly available data sources, mainly the World Health Organization Statistical Information System. And then I also used a new index of African government, the Ibrahim Index. Then I used Ethnologue, which was a count of the languages that are spoken in different countries. And then I also had some information from the United Nations Development Program, the Human Development Reports. So when I think about the governance variables, this was the Ibrahim Index of Governance, and it's a score out of 100. And the index is split into these various categories. So, for example, the Safety and Security Index comprises national security and public safety. The rule of law, transparency, and corruption includes the ratification of critical legal norms, the existence of independent and efficient judicial systems, and a measure of corruption. The Participation in Human Rights Index includes free and fair executive elections, respect for civil and political rights, and then the Sustainable Economic Development includes things like wealth creation, macroeconomic stability and financial integrity, and the Arteries of Commerce, which is about the roads and the telephones, and then also a score for environmental sensitivity. So these are the components of this Ibrahim Index. And as I said, the countries are scored out of 100. So if I look at the safety and security, the country with the minimum score on that index was Angola, and the country with the highest score was Gabon. The rule of law, transparency, and corruption, the minimum there was in Liberia, and the highest was in Botswana. For participation in human rights, the minimum was in Eritrea, and the highest was in Sao Tome and Principe. And the Sustainable Economic Development Index, the minimum there was for Guinea-Bissau and the highest was for the Seychelles. So it's quite a spread there. When I looked at the financing and provider variables that I included in the model, I looked at the number of providers per 10,000 of the population. And that was the sum of the community and traditional health workers, the dentistry personnel, environmental and public health workers, lab health workers, nursing and midwifery, pharmaceutical personnel and physicians. And then the others are financing variables, and those are all expressed in US dollars. The per capita non-government health expenditure, that was a derived variable. So what I did was I took total health expenditure minus the government health expenditure, and everything that's left over is non-government health expenditure. So that would encompass things like out-of-pocket expenditure, social insurance, private insurance, and other types of expenditure, perhaps aid. So then I looked at risk factors, and I looked at the rural population who has access to improved water and also access to improved sanitation. And then I also looked at per capita liters of alcohol that were consumed by adults. And in Ethiopia, it was the minimum for the access to water. And in Mauritius, it was the highest with 100%. And then the rural population with access to improved sanitation, there was a tie there with Eritrea and Niger. And the Seychelles was the highest. And then per capita liters of alcohol, in Togo, they reported no alcohol consumed. And in Nigeria, it was 10.57 liters per adult. So just before I move on, the per capita liters of alcohol consumed, you would expect that to have a positive correlation. So the more alcohol that's consumed, the more disability-adjusted life years there would be. But with most of the other variables, it would be negative. The better the score, the fewer lives of years lost. So then I looked at some of the cultural factors, and what I looked at was the number of languages that were spoken in the country. And Nigeria has 510 different languages that are spoken. And this might affect the provision of public services, because if people can't communicate, then it's difficult to decide where to spend their money. Then I also looked at the population living in an urban area, and that was 9% in Burundi, up to 80% in Gabon. And then I looked at the adult literacy rate, which was at a low of 12.8 in Burkina Faso and 91.9% in Seychelles. And then there's also some literature saying that the nationality of the country that colonized the country in Africa might have something to do. So I put in France and Great Britain, which each had colonized 17 of the countries. So when I look at the results of my multiple linear regression, the factors that were found not to have any statistical significance were the rule of law, transparency and corruption, participation in human rights, private health expenditure as a percent of total health expenditure, the percent of rural population with improved sanitation, the amount of alcohol that was consumed, and whether or not the country was colonized by the French or the British. So some of those things you would intuitively have thought might have made a difference, but certainly in the way that this model was set up, they didn't have a statistical impact. So if I move to the variables that did have the expected result, a one-unit increase in the safety and security index results in a 2.7% decrease in the all causes of death and disability. The number of providers was also extremely important. The per capita government health expenditure, also the more money that the government spends on health care, the fewer disability adjusted life years there are. And then going back to what you were saying in your talk, the rural population with access to improved water, that was highly significant in every case. So I did look at these for all cases for HIV, non-communicable, but I'm only reporting the all causes here for the brevity of the presentation. The number of languages spoken was also statistically significant in every case, and in the right direction. So the more languages that are spoken, the more dysfunction there seems to be in the more disability-adjusted life years. Then the population who was living in an urban area, that also the more people who lived in an urban area, the better their access to healthcare, and so the fewer disability-adjusted life years were lost. And then the adult literacy rate also, the higher, the better educated the population or the more literate the population, the fewer disability-adjusted life years were lost. Then I had a couple of unexpected results, and I am open to some ideas about why this might be the case. The two variables that were inversely associated were the sustainable economic development and the derived variable, which was the per capita non-government health expenditure. So it seems that the better score a country gets on sustainable economic development, the more people die of or the more people have disability-adjusted life years. And then the same for the per capita non-government health expenditure. So it seems that if the money is being channeled through non-governmental sources, it has less of an impact than it would be if it was channeled through the government. And it might also be something to do with governmental health spending might be more on preventive treatment, whereas other types of care might be treating acute conditions. It might have something to do with the fact that non-governmental health expenditure would include private health care expenditure, so if people are not spending a lot of money on their health care, that might also have an effect. So those were some of the unexpected results that I had. So in conclusion, there are lots of different variables that affect the disability-adjusted life years of people in sub-Saharan Africa. And part of the problem with doing any type of research involving Africa is the difficulty of obtaining accurate and timely data. So I'm sure there were many other things that I could have included as variables in the model, but there was inadequate data in many cases, and so that's why I identified those factors that I did. So really the issue is very complex, and it requires a balanced approach that includes all of these factors: governance of a country, the health financing and the provider variables, the health risk factors, and also cultural variables. So that's what I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
questions to all our great presenters. We have about 20 minutes for questions and answers. So please, lady. Thank you. Would you have any suggestion on the theory? Or?
No, I was just curious to see what theory she found or what theory she went into.
Okay, this is a very good question. You just reminded me I'm an item writer for the National Board of Public Health Examiners, and this is the kind of questions that you would expect on theories, you know, a vignette on a water implementation system and what behavioral theory you would use to bring about change or change in behavior. Yes, the gentleman back there. I have a question on that. Do you use transformations for some of your variables? I saw that the standard deviations were, you know, like overlapping or overextending the mean.
The outcome variable was a log transformed.
The outcome variable was log transformed, she said. Okay. Please. Any other questions? Yes, please.
For Sandra,
a negative, it was pretty broadly spread. But if you want to retire and be healthy, I would go to the Seychelles.
For Sultana, you talked about obesity in children. You talked about wine also. So would you say the dietary changes in children are the same as in Western countries, or do children eat healthier diets in those countries? I mean, if you compare.
You're saying no.
Yes. Or what changes, would you compare the diets in Greece and Spain or Mediterranean countries with those in the U.S.?
Okay. So I presented a slide showing how they have, they're beginning to abandon the traditional Mediterranean diet and move more towards a Western diet, which is very similar to the U.S. diet. So fast food has increased because there aren't home-cooked meals as often as they used to be, and midday meal was almost always home-cooked. Now it's probably fast food. And dinner may or may not be, or maybe something not as elaborate. Some Mediterranean cuisine is actually quite elaborate. So if the meal is home-cooked, it's a much easier solution, like something that can be 20 minutes, or a typical 20-minute meal, maybe some pasta, but not as elaborate, probably not as healthy as traditionally. And wine that you commented, I would raise some wine, I'm not an alcoholic, but you know, you can give a little bit of wine to children, and it's not to break them in or anything, it's just my dad still makes wine to this day, even though we live here now. So our grandparents made wine, parents continue to make wine. If you lived in the city, you had grandparents and family that made wine in the country. So we always had wine at the table that everybody drank at all times, including children. But I mean, I'm talking about 2 teaspoons, not for an adult.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Please.
On the sort of westernization theme, I wonder whether
question, please.
I definitely answered that, something that maybe not have been captured or identified, but we definitely saw a lot in the American Republic with this increase of the availability of free electricity. All these homes don't have access to clean water, and you know they're very, very poor, but they have free electricity. So you see a lot of homes have secondhand computers or a TV screen and you know an antenna tied up to their thatched roof or something like that, which is you know not uncommon to see in developing countries, but it's definitely another look at the fact that maybe all these things in modernization, depending on what you pick and choose, can definitely have very negative effects on health outcomes. And maybe we should look into cardiovascular illnesses and electricity correlation.
Thank you. Yes, please.
To develop
Thank you. Any comments? No comment? Okay. Okay, if there are no any other questions? Okay, let's put our hands together for our presenters. Thank you. And thank you all. Thank you all for attending. Thank you. Bye, Sultana.
Of all
Do you think we can?
Probably.
Hold on.